Hello, everyone. Welcome to the post show here for episode 103. Is the post show called, or is the thread called Peaches, Adam? Is that, did you just?
No, it's, I think it's called a mouthful with grave dirt.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one, too.
Yeah, I thought that was right, too.
Yeah. Very RP-centric episode. I didn't reveal it on the show, but I'm going to now, only because I think it's hilarious that me and Zeke had aligned goals from the very beginning and we did not even know it. The secret part of my goal was to stop you from drinking. Ever since like the incident at the end of that episode, however long ago that was, it was to stop you from just drinking at all. And then when you were like, yeah, I want you to take this. I was like, this is the easiest XP I've ever gotten.
I was thinking that too. I was just like, damn, hooked up.
Yeah.
Hooked the fuck up. That's great.
Yeah.
Got it, man.
I was like, this is great.
It's like in a computer RPG when you get a quest and they're like, I need you to collect 40 bear asses. And you look at your inventory, you're like, I have these already. It's a free experience.
Great.
Such a good feeling. I love it.
Yeah, you hooked me up there. But no, I'm gonna have fun with because I know that you'll work against yourself in that sense, which will work against me in terms of trying to find alcohol. But it's gotta come down
honestly,
to those rules.
Dream big dream that I had like when we met Grave Dirt was that she'd notice and she'd fucking like, you know, like you're fine now. She's like, I knew it wouldn't happen, but there was a hope.
Yeah.
As she said, quite breathily to the group of you, like, I have many gifts, right? Mm-hmm. So like,
yeah. Man, yeah. Last time someone said that to me, I turned into an egg.
And true. Now careful you're a peach, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't grant wishes.
That's true. Every once in a while, to think about the egg moment, every once in a while when we have like a big plot reveal or plot character introduced, I'm like, Yoji's going to be behind this motherfucker. I know Adam's he's just going to say Yoji appears. I'm like, nope, not today.
So, yeah.
I keep thinking about that a lot. Where to start? Dan's back and fine, seemingly. Ramus is back, I should say, which means Dan's back. Yeah. We didn't really I think that was one thing that I guess felt bad is the word, but we didn't really like celebrate the fact that Ramus was like back and alive and functioning. Like I fucking took off and just went and sat outside of a place for 24 hours and Berg went to a hot ramen shop and made some.
There's buds. No time, damn it. There's no time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also feel like Ramus didn't want us to celebrate. I don't know. Feel free to jump it on.
Yeah. You get to those points where it's just like, all right, someone died again. Okay, cool. Like it's not like you're not like super excited they're back. It's like it's just happened like so many times. Someone goes down or they're cursed or they disappear and they finally come back. Like it's cool, but as players, like we've done it's like 103 episodes.
Yeah.
We've done that already. So it's like our player like excitement isn't there anymore. So like we don't emulate that in the world as often. We skip over the little things that we used to dwell on when the characters were new.
Yeah, I think it might come back. At least Mahari might like make a note of it in the next episode. Just say like, hey, you know, we're glad to have you back, that type of deal, rather than like make a super big deal about it. Because it's kind of like, it's like you said, like Ramus was with us without a soul for the longest time, got it back, was alive for about 4 hours with it. Just passed
a few hours there.
Yeah.
Yeah. About one fight worth. Yeah.
Yeah. About one fight worth. So, yeah, I think I'll make that a conscious effort to at least mention it. Cause I think next episode, seems like it's going to be kind of fight heavy. But we'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I'm excited. We're like back on the main quest. If this was an RPG, we're gonna get some big story stuff happen when we do main quests versus all the side stuff we've been doing for a while.
Yeah.
Well, and it's interesting because the side stuff has been feeding into the main thing. Like a lot of kind of the way I understand what's going on with Maharib came from some things I started thinking about in the previous split arc, right? The one with Yoji and the kind of weird cult, right? I started thinking about giants and some of that stuff. So it's all like threading together in the background for me, but it is fun being able to put you right in front of like some fairly serious, like world changing shit and be like, cool. All right. Participate in this. Get back on that main quest train. So it's nice for me too, to bring you back into that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What were we going to say, Zeke? Do you remember?
As far as like welcoming Remus back and doing that kind of shit, like it's difficult to considering my affliction, like the
sure
always in the mind, like my mind, I have to keep in mind being drunk keeps me sane. That's like for patrons, like that's why I don't say it like flat out on the episode, but like that's my affliction is being drunk keeps me sane and my brain keeps telling me that, so I have to act as such, which also makes me ignore other people and other things, and it's hard, it's difficult because I want to do shit like that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I kept thinking about at least while we were kind of interacting and watching you act out your affliction in game, I kept thinking about like ways that Mahareeb would go against that or would try to remedy that. But the only thing that Mahareeb is like, if I had to pin a word to Mahareeb, it would just be physical, because that's all he knows. Like he doesn't know anything else except the physical aspect.
Right. He's living in a material world, and he is a material girl.
Pretty much. Yeah. So I can't be like, oh yeah, you should get some, you go get some of these fucking herbs over here and grind that shit and put on your tongue for 2 hours. You'll be good. You'll be right as rain. Like, I don't know. So I got to figure out ways other than just physically stopping you from doing that stuff. So that might be a goal or a change to that goal in the next episode. Well,
I just feel like, maybe this is how I teach you to care.
Oh, yeah. Maybe so. I think he cares. I think it doesn't come
through. Therapy sessions.
Yeah. It's true. Max, you made the hot soup boys your friends with a crit, actually.
Yeah. That was great. Yeah. That was a really fun scene. And it was fun that we got to, and I think Max, you appreciate this. It was fun that we got to be like, well, Max is eating some soup, so let's just make it into a scene. It reminds me, there's this moment I remember from being a kid, from playing D&D. Like I was like 13 or whatever, I'm playing with my friends. And our GM was like a real hard ass about role playing. Like he was like, you have to role play or I'm going to dock you experience. He's a real prick about it. And one time my friend Dan ordered pizza to the session, and Connor was really wanted a piece of that pizza, but he couldn't just like ask him like, hey man, give me some of your pizza. So he was like, the next time we made camp, he was like, give unto me one of your rations, and like made a big fucking thing out of it. And Dan was like, I don't want to give you my pizza. And he looks at the GM, and the GM's like, what would your character do? And Dan was just like, fine, you can fucking have some of my pizza, you asshole. So good. He's just like, damn it, well my character would give you rations, so I have to give you my pizza. And I just remember our GM, fucking Pat Brown, just sitting there in a fucking cloud of weed smoke, just being like, yes, I am your puppet master, give him your pizza, you fucking pleb. Just like, it's so good. It's just such a, I cherish that memory. He's just like shitty teens playing D&D. So that reminded me of that moment, that like, just integrate your snacks into the game and it'll be a fun goof.
Yeah.
So that was a cool little scene. I always think that despite Berg's crazy superhero life and all weird shit that's happened to him, I feel like Berg is still the most like just relatable dude. Like when most I need somebody to have, like he's just had this crazy life, but it's like, he doesn't even know. He's just like, I don't know. I guess I'm the hammer of heaven or whatever. Let's have soup and hang out and talk about fighting. It's great.
It's a very intentional choice too, because Berg wouldn't like that's how the character has always been. And just because all this crazy shit happened, like Berg has changed in other ways and stuff, but Berg at his core is still him. He's not like one. He also doesn't really have the intelligence to kind of, in a way, I guess, not saying that you have to be intelligent in order to, you know, be full of yourself or egotistical or whatever because of all the accomplishments you've had. But Berg is a simple man. Like he's a simple orc that's had a lot of crazy shit happen to him. That's always,
he's a quintessential kind of like reluctant hero.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's always kind of been like the guiding boiled down is like Berg is a simple orc who had some bad shit happen to him early on and then crazy shit happened through his life. But he didn't necessarily ask for any of that shit to happen. So he just kind of goes with it and tries to survive and plod on and do the right thing if he can.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
Which I think makes it that also drives like interesting narrative too when we come into all of these crazy scenarios. Like right now, we're gonna go murder some captain? What?
Yeah.
Yeah. just like
we can talk about that.
Hey, yeah. You wanna be part of this crew? Like, you gotta murder somebody like real quick for me. Like, are you fucking serious? Just off the street? That's what you're gonna ask.
We're the bad guys now, I guess. And also, that's going to be weird with Berg.
What, to just go straight up murder a dude?
I mean, it's so casual,
just murdering.
Casual murder.
I like Berg's opposed to murdering, obviously, or killing people, right. But it's just some captain guy who doesn't appear to be evil or doing anything horrible.
Yeah,
and this fucking yeah,
and you know I'm not gonna make it easier on you. I'm not gonna be like, yes, you sneak up on your camp and you see him fucking torturing somebody. He's gonna just be like a fun guy who likes his friends and is like soldiers. He's nice and all that shit. And he's got a family back home. It is interesting from a like a larger scale that there's all this talk about like you're in control of your destiny. Heaven is fake. People don't have like a path set up before them because murderers in this world can in some cases justifiably say it was my destiny to kill that man. And if a priest is present at their trial and it's like, it's true, Your Honor, it was their destiny. Then the judge is just like, bonk, get out of here. Go do whatever you got to do. You're free because heaven made you kill them. Like the devil made me do it in this setting is like, it was my destiny to kill them or whatever. And so the law is like confused and stuff, but now you're in this camp with the Mara. And these dudes are like, you are responsible for your own shit. So if you go up there and you murder this dude, that is on you. Like, it wasn't your destiny to kill this guy. You are making that personal choice to end a life. And that's very different from what the, like, prevailing culture believes. So, yeah, it's a weird switch where, like, they're the bad guys, but in a lot of ways they have opinions about stuff that might be different from kind of what we've seen so far and kind of seeing how that affects the way that the characters behave, I think will be really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to all that shit.
I'm trying to think back. Did she say why she wanted the captain killed or just, I want the captain
killed?
Yeah,
she's just like, I hate this dude. Like he's up there. He's trying to get the dwarves to help him. They're going to come down here and fight me. But basically like, screw him. Like he's my enemy and I want you to murder him for me.
Well, I guess she did say murder. We're just going to get him to leave. We're just going to have a stern talk with the young man.
And
we're going to get him
to leave. She specifically said, bring me his head. Like, I want his head on a plate. Bring it to me.
Well, maybe to us, that's a figure of speech, you know? It gets lost sometimes in conversation. Right?
You're like, I didn't think you literally meant hack the dude's head off and bring it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm it trying to.
Gross.
I would think that Maharib, when he was doing mercenary work, probably was sent on like some assassination mission. So he's probably done shit like that before.
Maybe.
So I'm trying to think like Maharib.
If you think about it though, Maharib probably was raised with a more like ashes to ashes, dust to dust type situation where like you were, you were taught that like, life and death is a cycle. It's this much more like natural experience of like you have your life and then you return to the earth, right? As mulch basically. So like, yeah, killing a person ends their life early, but like in the end, again, ashes to ashes, we return to the source. So it's like, it's interesting seeing where that kind of comes from.
Yeah. It'll be a fun combo, I think, that the group will potentially have at the start of next episode. I think, Dan, where's Ramus fit in? Is Ramus just like, fuck it, let's go kill this guy? Or are you going to be apprehensive about it?
I'm actually very anxious. I want to go and take care of the mission. I'm very enthusiastic about it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what I'm anticipating, too, is Bergen is, you know, me, Max, the player, is how that's going to come to fruition as far as a conversation between Ramus and Berg and like, yo, why are we doing this? Like what?
Yeah.
What is this? What we do now?
Is there Amir gave me a flaw too, that it hasn't been revealed yet.
Yep. That's true.
Yeah. That's and then true. I think Yota will have issues with it. I think also Yota has his own issues right now with his dad. And I think that's going to be right at the start of the episode where we go and talk to him.
Yeah. So if you, Zeke, if you want to like leave a goal slot open or something to write post dad, you are welcome to do that. Like you can have your like, have it out with my dad, another thing, and leave one open so that after you talk to him, you can be like, I'm going to write something different. You're welcome to do that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I have one open right now. It's blank. It's ready to go.
Okay. Yeah, you can
do that one. I'm excited about that. I'm like, fuck.
Me too, dude.
I'm struggling so hard with the task she put us on. Like, morally, it's funky because of the whole Court of Swords. How it works, how this universe works, is like, man, just gonna kill a guy, huh? Well, sure, I suppose, but like, is the payment enough? It's the promise of payment.
Yeah.
And then also, what does that mean for us?
Like, put the gold in my hand this time.
We work for her now. Like, we're underlings.
Yeah.
We're subordinate.
Yeah. What do you? Well, and I think Maharib made a good point, right? Yeah. Where he was like, we don't, this isn't how it's going to be. We're not your fucking lickspittle boys.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this. But to prove that we're here to play ball, I'm going to fuck this shit up.
Yeah. So, I think, honestly, I think it would be terrible for the show. But I could definitely see it being like, all right, Maharib and Ramis are going to go kill a dude and Yota and Bert are going to go fuck off somewhere else. Because they have issues with it. And Ramis and Maharib are just like, nope, this is we got a plan. Let's go. Let's see how this goes.
Yeah, and then we'll come back and be like, you did it.
Yeah.
And then she'll be like, how come you and Berg didn't do this?
Yeah. They didn't eat the peach, lady. Give him a peach. Let's come on, count. Get him in when the goddamn program. When
you ate peach, I could see everything that happens, didn't you?
That's right. Everybody sucked down those peaches. What I think is really cool too is that like she's got her own agenda, right? She isn't just like, man, do as you please. Like, you know, she's got some thoughts and feelings about the Ramis Krill and its friends, and she has her own agenda, right? So like that is a thing that is true and will remain true, and you can't know, right?
Yeah.
So that's something. She's got her own thing going on.
Well, we'll see.
We'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Like when we leave it, like I said, when I was failing and flubbing through those words, I like when we leave off on a really, really interesting cliffhangers for the next shows. Mm. Not that it's not like that every show, because the show's so good.
It's true.
But particularly ones like this.
I was trying to see if Dallin posted the stats yet, but he has not. Collectively, we rolled terribly
this episode. Yeah, this was bad.
Real bad across the board. I think the highest roll, Yota had a 21. And I guess Max had his crit. There was one crit.
Yeah.
And I think the other highest roll was a 21. Your attack rolls were fine, Zeke. They were. I think you hit every single time. But you were up against like a 10 AC, so, or 11 AC. Not much to it.
Yeah.
Go against there, but yeah. Across the board, shit rolls.
It's funny that we didn't even talk about like the one battle that occurred.
Yeah.
I mean, you mopped the floor with those dudes.
It was one round. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, plus, and you said it yourself at the end of the fight. You didn't even treat it as a fight. You were like, I gotta go find some liquor. Is there any on them? Like, nope, there's not. Shit, let's go somewhere else.
You knocked out six dudes in 12 seconds.
Yeah. It was some Ip Man shit right there.
I love when Yotazo fights, because I always imagine it as like if Chow Yun Fat were a fucking elephant man.
Yeah, well, with Disney's technology that they're using in Aladdin, we can just put his face on a giant elephant man and we'll be good. Yeah.
Yeah. Kung Fu Panda. But
real life.
But with an elephant.
Yeah, with CG.
and a heart addiction.
Yeah.
It's rated weird, R version. Mm, they're doing big right now in Hollywood, rated R movies.
Gritty reboot.
Yeah.
Take a gamble and venture into the rated R realm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Kung Fu Pack.
But also it was nice to show off like what the monk class is actually really good at. It's like if there's a lot of people around, he can get like the like how many attacks do I did I get like I can get six. I do four attacks a round.
Yeah.
Six total if I do attacks. The flurry blows and stuff. Yeah, yeah.
It was good. It was good. Yeah, you got to flaunt to Mahari about that. Because you didn't tell anyone that happened. No, you've actually spoken only to Mahareeb, and it was an aside because you asked me how much you were, how much money you paid, how much money we paid to get inside. That was the only thing.
I don't want to explain myself. Like, yeah. Hey, I got into a fight. Like, why? No reason.
Well, I guess that's true.
What were you doing out and about last night? Like, nothing. Shut up. None of your business, Mom. You don't own me.
Yeah, I didn't think about
it. I just went out trying to get my drink on. I got in a fight, all right? This shit happens.
I did not think about that. Yeah.
So.
you honeyed me, you fuck.
Yeah. I was waiting for that. I figured you were going to do it, but I didn't know which thing you were going to pick. I was kind of hoping you were going to go with mayonnaise because, like, getting a big mouthful of mayo when you're hoping for some wine's not. But, yeah, honey's good, too, because that's a lot. Like, I don't think.
Yeah.
How much is
a gallon of honey?
That's a lot. Yeah. And the thing about honey is it's just so, it would be so hard to drink that. Like,
well, he would also get it all over his face because he was pouring.
So a gallon of honey weighs 12 pounds.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, it's goop. You can buy a 1 gallon pail. It's in a bucket on Amazon. For $80. So good.
I wouldn't be able to do that on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just raw honey.
Yeah, I think I have to, because we didn't really talk about why Mahari would know that thing could turn into honey, only because Adam said that, but
yeah.
Maybe Mahari will just start thinking of different substances that could be in that vase and we'll see if it actually happens.
Yeah, wait until you try to make a gallon of crack cocaine.
Yeah.
Then shit's going to go off the rails.
Get him a new addiction. We're just going to put blow in there.
Yeah, weirdly, it can generate 6 pounds of meth every day, which means you can all just quit being adventurers and just start fucking dealing out of the magic jug.
Yeah.
Actually, that's a really good, that'd be a really good, like, Blades in the Dark plot. Like, somebody discovers a magic item that can generate, like, demon crack, and then everybody just, like, fights over it. Like, that's your business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could do that even in D&D if it's just like, oh, yeah, we found a jug that just brews a gallon of wine every day. And that's
what. So there's this role-playing game called Exalted that's, like, one of my faves from back in the day. The setting is amazing. Lots of little inspirations in it in Court of Swords, but there was this group that had these magical bioengineered like animals, basically like big pack animals, big herbivores, and they were magically engineered such that they basically ate opium poppies all day and then just peed heroin, and then they would just use this group just sold the heroin pee
Jesus Christ.
Everybody, and that was their business. They were like a weird evil drug cult. So, you know, we're like, yeah, it's magic. A wizard can do anything. So you want magic crack? Done. No problem.
Get some magic crack. Yeah.
Right. Well, I can sell that gallon of honey for gold and a half every day if I want to.
You could. It's true. Oh, is that how much it is in the D&D world? Does it say that?
2 silver pieces for a pint of honey. 8 pints in a gallon. So that's 16 silver. So it's like a gold plus and a half plus 1 silver.
You know what we should do? We're sending Doug back to the embers of Emyx. What if we just gave him that thing and generated the gold every single day? And then we're just like, all right, we're going to fast forward about 10 years and, accrue some of that gold. We'll just see what happens.
Yeah. It's called D&D promptly invested. We're not promptly. Uh-huh. Not promptly. God damn it.
Yeah.
Prudently.
Prudently. Yeah.
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 Some honey futures. It's cool.
It'll be good. All right. We're done. We're out of here. Yep. That's the post show. Thanks, everyone, for watching. We'll see you guys next week for another episode on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern. Have a good night. Good one. A good night. Yeah, that's the word.
Good thing.
Have a good
time. Have a time.
Bye.